Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, our first day back from the long weekend. Business is open for usual, and business is not good. The Wall Street had a really rough day. Everything was down. The Dow closed about 300 points down on the same day that Barack Obama signed the stimulus bill. And I think the consensus of opinion here is that this stimulus bill, like the TARP bill and like everything that's gone on before it, it really is just a bailout for the rich and the oligarchs. It is robbing the poor to give to the wealthy, and it is not going to kick off the economy anytime soon. Yes, there is a certain amount of money that's in there to hire people to fill in holes in the road, but we're not going to prosper a nation by teaching everybody how to fill in holes in the road. That's not how you make a nation profitable in the 21st century. It's politically expedient, I will grant you, but... You know, somebody has to tell this guy, because he's on the airplane and he's out in Denver and he's making speeches and he's got this wonderful presentational manner about him, which obviously helped him win the election. But the campaign is over, and it is time to step away from the TV cameras and to stop posturing and to stop selling and actually get something done. I was listening to his speech earlier today. It is all platitudes. He's talking about the American dream. Of course, you remember what George Carlin said about the American dream. You've got to be asleep to believe it. And, you know, it was just all of these wonderful phrases that I'm sure the marketing research people came up with and said, yes, this is what people will respond to. We've focus grouped all of this, and these are the buzzwords, and they'll say, yes, I agree with that, and I agree with that. And not a whole heck of a lot on how he's really going to get the economy going again. I don't think he's got a clue on how to make it happen. I mean, the indicators from all over the world continue to be horrendous. Donald Trump, the Donald, just resigned as head of his own bankrupt casino company. I understand from some of my inside sources they're going to make a movie about his life called Slumlord Millionaire. All right. The Russian stock market actually tanked briefly. They had to stop trading at one point. Both of their main indicators lost about 9%. Now, I don't know how the rules are in Russia, but in the United States markets, 10% loss in a single day is considered a crash. So we have got awfully close to a crash. Close enough where, you know, I don't think you're going to quibble about it. It was a bad day. We're seeing the markets all around the world reacting to all of this stuff, and it just, you know, we're firmly in the 7,000s on the Dow right now. So the conventional wisdom of 6 months ago that the market was going to bottom in the 8 and then recover, that we can forget about. They didn't know what they were talking about. Now, earlier today, there was this report. I put it up on whatreallyhappened.com where some think tank is saying that Americans' lifestyles are going to be permanently changed. I sure hope they weren't being paid taxpayer money for this thing, because, I mean, talk about an incredible grasp of the obvious. Yes, our lifestyles are going to be permanently changed, but Americans' lifestyles for the bottom 80% of our population have been in steady decline in terms of real living standards for almost the last half century. The homes that we live in may be worth more on paper, but the homes themselves are smaller, have less features, are built much more cheaply, don't last as long. They're not resilient. You're having to put more money into them to keep them up. The same thing with medical care. It's gotten more expensive. You can say, yes, I can afford the very best medical care. The quality has gone down, by and large. Quality of education has gone down, by and large. So... yeah, our lifestyle is changing. It has been changing for quite some time. The vast majority of Americans are not able to match the lifestyle enjoyed by their parents. And this last generation, the ones that are in college right now, actually, I take that back. My generation, I'm a little older than that. Ours was the first generation on the whole in America where the majority of Americans were not able to match the lifestyle that their parents had enjoyed. Most of us declined. We're not able to afford quite as large a house. We're not able to afford quite as many cars. We're not able to afford to send our children to quite such a nice school. We came up short. What was the difference? Well, taxes certainly went up and went up and went up and went up, mostly to pay for bombs. That's where most of your tax dollars at the federal level goes for. And most of what's left over goes to pay the interest on the out-of-control government debt. Now, at the state level, of course, it's starting to get really ugly. We've already talked about California and Arnold Schwarzenegger and his dismissive attitude toward the looming financial warning signs as being the brains of economic girly men. Well, he's definitely a girly man now because California is in serious, serious trouble. Kansas also has had to suspend income tax refunds. They may miss their state payroll in another couple of weeks. The governor, Kathleen Sebelius, is trying to transfer funds from other state accounts into the general fund so that they can meet their payroll. But that basically means they're looting other state programs. Something else has to be shut down. They have run out of money. They still want you to send in your taxes. You may not get a refund. People who actually have to write a small check, both to Kansas and California, they're considered the lucky ones because the ones who overwithheld and they're expecting back that huge refund, they're not going to get it. And, you know, a lot of people, they plan on that money. When that comes in, you know, towards spring and summer, that's their vacation money or that's the money they're going to use to refurbish a room or add a new room onto the house for little ones that are expected down the road. Or they take a vacation, they upgrade their vehicle. You know, people actually come to depend on that money coming in, and it's not going to be there. Now, in recent weeks, we've been talking about Bernie Madoff and his corruption, $50 billion. Apparently, Texas billionaire Alan Stanford has been charged with fraud because apparently he was feeding money from his investors into the Madoff scheme, and he told them that he wasn't. He lied, basically what it was. He lied. And so it turns out he is now part of that whole pyramid scheme debacle, and he is being charged with fraud as well. This thing is not going to end anytime soon. The SEC has egg all over their face for having let Bernie Madoff get away with what he did for year after year after year, even when expert Harry Markopoulos was handing them the evidence, gift wrap with a bow on it on a silver platter, and the SEC did nothing. So now the SEC, they're gunning for bear. They're looking at everybody. And anybody who's got a shady deal in the investment community, they're going to get called on it now. And it is going to be a huge steaming pile on this one. As the economy started going south, probably more and more of these investment companies started playing these kind of games, figuring it was only temporary. As soon as the economy recovers, we'll square all the accounts and everything will be fine. And they're going to get caught short. Now, if it wasn't bad enough on Wall Street, now it's turning out that apparently in Iraq, you know, war is a racket. And a major general, what's his name, Smedley, said, war is a racket. It sure is. Now, remember the top story of September 10th, 2001? Not September 11th, but September 10th, one day before. That was when Donald Rumsfeld got up at the Pentagon in front of a news conference and said, well, golly gee shuckies, but, we've just lost $2.3 trillion, with a T. Don't know where it went. Was here just a minute ago. We don't know where it went. And that was the second admission. A couple of months before, there had been an admission of another $1 trillion they couldn't account for. It just floated out the window somewhere. And then there was the 2.3. And then there should have been the financial scandal of the year. 24 hours later, 9/11 happens, and the media forgets all about trillions of dollars, your tax dollars, trillions of your tax dollars missing from the Pentagon. And by golly, you want to talk about an amazing coincidence? That plane that hit the Pentagon hit the offices that were trying to find where that money went. So with that historical background, there is yet another looming financial scandal with the American military in Iraq We're going to talk about it when we come back from this break. Our phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is answering the phones. We will be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the economy. Obviously, the economy is dominating all of our thought processes these days. Despite corporate media's best efforts to get us distracted, looking at high-speed freeway chases and missing girls and rehashes of the Tylenol controversy and the JonBenet Ramsey case one more time. But the economy, obviously, tremendous impact on all of our lives. We're talking about the various scams that have been going on, the $3 trillion that vanished from the Pentagon, and this is all your money. And on top of having taken all that money and just who knows what they did with it, and they've added another $8 trillion worth of debt onto the taxpayer in the last 6 months with all these bailouts. Now we're finding out in what could be the greatest fraud in U.S. history, outside of the Federal Reserve itself, of course, American authorities are investigating senior military officers, American military officers, in the misuse of the $125 billion that was sent to Iraq for the reconstruction. Okay, they're not sure how much has been misappropriated, but they're saying it's probably greater than $50 billion, which means Bernie Madoff has just, unfortunately, lost his number one position as greatest scam of all history. But basically, looking around Baghdad, the only cranes, the only construction going on is inside the new U.S. Embassy compound. The little bit of building they did outside that, most of it, like the police station, was falling apart the day the police walked into it. It was that cheaply built. It was all for cosmetic and all for show. The only other cranes that are outside the embassy compound in Baghdad right now are these rusting hulks that were in the middle of building something when the U.S. attacked. And those projects have been abandoned. The cranes are still standing there, rusting away. There's going to be some collapses really soon. And all this money, your money, pallets of it. They had a photo with one of the people who's been arrested, had pallets of wrapped, plastic-wrapped $100 bills, just stacked up. And he had his picture taken with it. Hey, look at all this stuff. And the money is just gone. Nobody knows where it has gone. Got a coffee cup and a T-shirt we sell around here. It says, the last official act of any government is to loot the nation. Folks, I think that's what's going on right now. Because these bailouts are not for your benefit. What it is, and as I've said this before, and I want you to just sort of, this is really the crux of the whole matter. The problem with the Federal Reserve system, with a debt-based monetary system where every monetary unit in circulation is the result of a loan by the Federal Reserve Bank to the United States government at interest. And the problem with that system is the instant it went into effect in 1913, more money is owed to the Federal Reserve than is actually in existence. And as long as they could find new borrowers, it's a pyramid scheme, as long as they could find new borrowers to come in to justify the creation of new money that could be used to pay the interest on the old money, it all went along just fine. That's when they were always talking about the growth of the economy. The U.S. economy can't stay exactly the same size, or you start getting into trouble. It has to be growing because it's got to get that wider foundation underneath it. And as long as it's growing, everything is fine, and it's all going to work. But, you know, Earth is finite. You're going to run out of room. You're going to run out of people, and that's what happened. And now that they can't find new borrowers to justify the creation of new money, what the U.S. government is doing is they're borrowing on your behalf without your permission, to allow the Federal Reserve to create all this new money to pour into these various financial institutions to keep them going. But all they're really doing is they're taking the losses that these institutions suffered because of their own poor choices, and they're dumping the losses onto you. Just as fast as they can fling it with the pitchfork, they're going to throw it on you. It's like musical chairs. The music has stopped, and they're ganging up to make sure that you're the one without a chair, is really what it comes down to. So, anyway, getting back to Bernie Madoff, as we like to call it, Swindler's List. Apparently, Bernie Madoff's victims may not be able to sue him to recover their money after all. It seems that back in 1995, the U.S. Congress passed some laws supposedly to reduce the number of frivolous lawsuits directed at investment companies by unhappy clients. The reality is that this law set such a high standard of evidence. Basically, you had to already be able to prove that fraud had occurred before you could even go into court. And in the case, certainly, of some of these feeder accounts that were taking investors' money, like the Stanford Financial, taking their clients' money and without telling them, putting it into the Madoff pyramid machine, that standard of evidence may not be met. So basically what they're doing is the way the laws are written, Madoff may not have to face any lawsuits by his investors, the people that he built out of the money. And the part that nobody wants to talk about, because remember, the whole point of a pyramid scheme is the first people in at the very beginning, they make out like bandits. They get all the money. It has to be, because that's where the reputation about, oh, what a wonderful little operation Bernie Madoff has, is from those earlier investors who made all that huge amount of money. Nobody wants to talk about who they were or where that money went. And folks, that's a scam, because if you go down to the flea market and you buy a TV set, and it turns out it's a stolen item, the cops will come and they will take that TV set back to give it back to its rightful owner. And you're just out the money you gave to the fence at the flea market. But for some reason, in Bernie Madoff's case, whoever got the proceeds of his illegal activities, nobody wants to talk about them. They don't want to go and say, hey, can you give some of that back? Because there's a lot of people got hurt out here. And now it looks like they might not even be able to sue. So they're just SOL. I can't say what that means. They'll shut down this here radio station. So it just seems like, you know, whose side is Congress on? That they're passing these laws that make it so difficult for investors who have been cheated by their investment brokerages can't sue. Well, the bottom line is here, and I'm going to take this into the next segment because we're almost at the bottom here, but I want you to think about this. It is obvious things are coming apart. Because so much money is owed to the Federal Reserve that doesn't exist, and because we the people just don't have it in our cookie jars and mattresses to just sort of magically make it appear to clean up this whole mess, you know, it's obvious that we're headed for, if we're not already in, a depression. I got to tell you, I drove through downtown Honolulu today. I think the only business that's doing good in Honolulu right now is the guy that's painting the little real estate signs, the for sale and for lease and now letting. He's doing great. Everybody else is just in terrible, terrible trouble. So what is the U.S. government going to do when it crashes and the anger of the American people starts making itself manifest? How are they going to try and save themselves? Because remember, government's first loyalty is to itself. And to heck with everybody else. So what will they do? Think about it. Join us on the air, 800-259-9231. Tell us what you think the U.S. government might do to weasel its way out of its responsibility for this mess. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy, endlessly about the economy here. And we've got a caller waiting on the line, but I want to get into something here real quick before we get to Henry here. The economy is coming apart. The reason Barack Obama's speech earlier today is all these platitudes about the American dream and so forth and so on is he doesn't know how to fix it. Because in the short term, the only way to reignite the economy and get it going is to slash taxes. And I'm not talking a percent here and a percent there and a tax credit for some special function. I'm talking about 50% across the board at a minimum. And let us keep more of our money. That way we can pay our mortgages. And that gets rid of the mortgage crisis. We can pay our credit cards. That gets rid of the credit crisis. The reason the economy has stuttered to a standstill is the government is taking too much money from us. Period. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. What is the government going to do as the economy explodes? They've already seen the government of Iceland forced out of office. France is concerned about public uprisings there. Greece, same thing. Ireland is approaching default. They're worried about riots. Riots all over Europe. We're not seeing a lot of it being reported here in the U.S. We're getting JonBenet Ramsey recycling and all the rest of that. Okay? So the U.S. government is already thinking, what are they going to do if there is major rioting here in the United States? If there's food shortages, they're trying to find any way to justify taking our guns away from us. They've got their little pain ray guns mounted on the Hummers that they're going to use on us to keep us uppity Americans in our place when we start getting angry. What are they going to do? They're going to find scapegoats. Anytime a dictatorship gets in trouble, they find somebody to blame for the problems. They've been trying to blame the Muslims. It's going to be a hard sell on that one because the Islamic banking sector is the only sector that has been untouched by this whole fiasco. So what the U.S. government is going to do, and I'm already seeing the signs of it, and be aware of it and speak out against it when you see it. They're going to try and divide us and get us to fight each other. We're already seeing signs they're trying to fan up this Republican versus Democrat thing. They're going to say, oh, the Republicans are responsible and the Democrats are responsible. And you guys just fight it out over which one of the parties was really responsible for this whole thing. Folks, don't fall for it. It's a dirty trick to get you to fight against each other, to war with yourselves. And that way the government just stands off to one side and laughs at your silliness as you bloody each other's eyes. Folks, both parties are to blame. And the argument over whose neck requires the tallest tree and the shortest rope is pointless. This is not about Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal, young against the old, rich against the poor. It is the American people against a government that has looted us to shower the money on people so rich they don't even remember how many houses they own. And they're going to pull every dirty trick they can to get us to turn on each other, to get us to argue over whether the rich should get a tax break or the poor should get a tax break. Don't fall for it. Everyone needs a tax break. We are all paying way too much taxes. Young, old, rich, poor, white, black, man, woman, we're all taxed too much. And the one thing the government could do to improve the economy in the short term, they won't do. They're doing exactly the opposite. They're taking tons of public money and they're pouring it on the very people who created this mess. And it's going to bring about an even worse depression. And at some point, the anger of the American people is going to explode. I'm reminded of the words of wisdom of Admiral Yamamoto when he found out that the announcement of war had been delivered to the United States State Department 1 hour after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Their intention had been that there would be the declaration of war and then 5 minutes later the airplanes would hit. But because of noise or perhaps even deliberate interference in the telecommunications from Japan to their embassy in Washington, D.C., the message was delayed. And Admiral Yamamoto said, you know, I fear we've awakened a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. And basically what he meant was sort of a follow-on to a comment he'd made before, that America was very hard to rouse them to anger. But once they were roused, they would be formidable. And I think we're approaching that point. A lot of people, I'm one of them, have always said, what does it take to get the American people angry at what is being done to them. And we joke about tranquilizers and the water supplies and stuff like that. Then we find out it's not a joke. But and you wonder, what does it take for people to get angry? And I'm seeing the anger just bubbling below the surface. I do this little experiment, and I suggest you do the same. When you go out to the supermarket and the stores and everything else, and the opportunity presents itself, just say, yeah, man, we're just all so, you know, we're all suffering so that these people can just take more of our money and give it to the banks. And, you know, especially tell people that all these bailouts, the government isn't giving the money away. They're expecting us to pay it back down the road. You'd be surprised the anger that will surface. It's there. It's just under the surface. And, you know, the U.S. government is absolutely, you know, concerned about it, but they won't do the one thing to make the economy work short term. And, of course, long term, you've got to bring back the manufacturing. Filling in the potholes isn't going to do it. And the part that really, really concerns me is that Barack Obama is a smart guy, and he should understand very simply that, you know, lowering taxes by a significant amount, by at least half, is going to improve the economy, but he won't do it. And the other thing that really worries me is he has to understand that we, the American people, are really angry right now at the government. And if he were smart, he would allow war crimes trials to proceed against his predecessor, because that way the anger falls on them and not on Barack Obama. And so, frankly, he's doing everything wrong from where I sit. We're going to go to the phones. Henry in Oregon. Aloha, Henry. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
After listening to you, man, you do so well, I don't even know what to say.
Pick something. Use a dartboard. You know, we're going to talk about...
I did. First, I wanted to say one thing is that something you may not want to say, but I don't think people realize the discipline and the hardship that you go through doing your job. And even the fear, you know, and I know you don't say that, so I want to say it for you.
Well, I don't even want to hear it, but thank you for the compliment, really.
All right,
thank
anyways, okay, we'll move on.
Yes.
What did I want to say? I was just listening to you. You pretty much said it all. Now I forgot.
We can go back and erase the tape and let you have another go at it.
No, we're all fine. We're all fine. Probably just, I just wanted to say that thing. Then how about if I just do that? I remember. Okay, now, about several years ago, I got into doing this of following, seeing the truth, okay? And I remember blogging on sites because I felt like in my own state, in my own city and stuff, that was where I was supposed to do. Oh, man, I got laughed at. I got scoffed at. I got all kinds of stuff. You had one or two people, but, man, I got beat up pretty bad. And mm-hmm. I think that you may have gone through that yourself. And all of a sudden now... On these things, yeah, that's a little. All of a sudden, man, I'm just seeing, and what you said about going to the grocery store or whatever and just saying something like that, that is so true. Because I have been doing this. Now I've got everybody, I have a force now, you know. People are agreeing with me.
They're not laughing
anyway,
anymore.
I just wanted to let you know, and I want to finish with this, and I'll let you go. That if the people out there just stick to the truth and hold on to it and spread the news, like you said, and I would say go to whatreallyhappened.com, go to infowars.com, this type of stuff. I mean, just those simple things, it does work, and I can see you probably growing and all this kind of stuff, and they're going to see it. So stick with Mike.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate that. And, yeah, we are very large. I mean, we've had to upgrade our server several times now. We have a readership that exceeds several large city newspapers. I wish we could make the same money that they do. But actually, they're going out of business, too, as well. So, Henry, we got to let you go because the music means it's time to take a break, and we've got another caller, Frank, in Texas, waiting on the other side of the break when we come back. So our phone number is 800-259-9231, and we're going to take a few deep breaths here and come back and maybe talk about some things other than the economy when we come back from these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means?
Which means they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. We're in a bit of a rush. There's a lot of stuff piling up here. We've got Frank waiting on the phone. Before we get to him, though, I want to catch up on some of the stuff from the mailbox and from the chat room at whatreallyhappened.com. First of all, from the email, there are a lot of interviews on the mainstream media right now about the economy. There is one subject that is never analyzed or even ever mentioned. It is the cost of the Pentagon and national security. Last year, the Pentagon cost $647 billion. And which, you know, and they lost $2.5-3 trillion of it back in 2001. And there doesn't seem to be much control over where that money is going, you know, case in point. We have, what, 700 bases installed around the world in places we've never even heard of for what? In the quest for global control, America has literally been sucked financially dry. This has not been for any benefit whatsoever to the people of America. Obama promised to end the war in Iraq, and more troops are being sent there. He's upping the troop numbers in Afghanistan as well. Why? It isn't because of the 9/11 attack. It's because the Zionists need to control the Middle East oil if they're going to control the world. There is a total disconnect now between the American people and the federal government, military, corporate pigs. I do not see why the American people continue to allow themselves to be drained by such leeches. Time to start all over again before they divide up our country and sell off all of its assets. They're already doing that. If you look behind all this facade of these environmental programs that are setting aside all this land that we're not allowed to go into anymore, the wilderness areas, the roadless zones, the heritage rivers and all the rest of that stuff, and all these fancy names that make it look like we're saving these lands for future generations, we are not. Those lands are collateral on the out-of-control national debt. When the people this money is owed to attempt to foreclose, we're going to wind up as tenants instead of citizens on what used to be our country. I mean, I personally, they try and foreclose on Sequoia. I'm going to be there with a musket fighting them off here. Turning to the chat room real quick, one comment caught my eye. We are in trouble. Science has left us dependent upon that which we cannot sustain. And this is actually a very, very good comment, because science and technology progress more or less linearly. A little bit of a curve on there, but population increases geometrically. And the problem is that every time that population density crosses over or exceeds the ability of the current technology to sustain that population, you get a collapse, whether it was the Black Death or various other such collapses. Throughout history, every once in a while, we have more people than our current science is able to sustain. And that is a recipe for a problem. And I forgot to turn off the sound on the chat box here, so let me just get that taken care of. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Frank in Texas. Aloha, Frank. What is on your mind?
Hey, you ever watch Gangland on the History Channel?
I've watched it a couple of times, yeah. We're actually, believe it or not, and I know the Hawaii tourism people are going to hate me for this, we have gang activity out here. We're seeing all the little tagging and whatnot as they start fighting for drug turf.
You know, I grew up in Chicago, which is a mafia town, and I just want to name a couple names here. You've got Capone, Genovese, Accardo, Luciano, Nitti, mm-hmm. Genovese, Lucchese, Di Stefano, Bonanno, Costello, Gotti, Castellano, Marcello, Gigante, Salerno, Traficante, Scarfo, Lombardo, Provenzano, and Anastasia, and that's just to name a few. There's about several hundred more names, and one thing they all have in common, they're all baptized Roman Catholics. And my mother.
What about Mayor Lansky?
Mayor Lansky's Jewish.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but
okay.
Talking about the Italian mob and all the Mexican mafia is all Roman Catholic. Most of the bodies of the murdered members have tattoos of Mary on them and do the rosary and all this kind of stuff. I just wanted to... They call themselves a Christian church, but it's anything but Christian. That's just another indication of what that religion is all about, you know.
Well, I don't think that's fair. Now, I'm anti-religion, and my own family history was definitely scarred by the Catholic Church, but I think these are just bad people, and they just happen to wear their religion as part of their social acceptance. I mean, you've got the same thing with the Yakuza, have their tattoos, and, you know, they worship at whatever their particular religion is. So I don't think you can really say that it's the Catholic Church that is making the mafia. It is simply the mafia, because of the culture they grew up in, they tend to be Catholic, because that's just what was all the way around.
Oh, one other thing.
Yeah.
Hitler and the entire Third Reich, 98% of them were Roman Catholic. Adolf Hitler was a baptized, practicing Roman Catholic, and that's a fact, if you want to check it out.
Yeah, he sang in the choir at the Monastery of Lambach. That's where he first saw the swastika. It was carved in the door as an architectural motif. I mean, what's his name? The papal nuncio, Pacelli, came up and helped bring down the Weimar Republic and put Hitler in, and they made him Pope Pius XII, I think, after that.
Right, I got pictures of Bonanno and some other mob guys having a big party with a bunch of Catholic priests. They're all boozing it up and everything, and they're all got their arms around each other. And
there's a lot of handshake there. I mean, old Joe Kennedy used to use the Boston Archdiocese to launder the rum running money, you know, before Prohibition was repealed. So yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on there. But I don't think it's really fair to say that being Catholic makes you criminal. It's just criminals appear in every culture and every religion and every, you know, population. Anyway, thanks a lot, Frank. We're going to let you go here because we're out of time, and we've got to cover a few more things. I'm looking at the chat board, and they're in there talking about the opium wars and how much drug money definitely has played a role in the history of the United States. The Skull and Bones fraternity, Yale University, was funded with opium money here. All right, we're going to pick up a couple of things here from the news here. Apparently, this is such a weird story, and we don't have all the details yet, but apparently two teenage girls, underage girls, were found in a barracks at a Fort Lewis Army base. One of them was dead. The other one is in the hospital. They say she's stable. But the interesting thing is that Fort Lewis did not release any public statements about this for 36 hours after the girls were found. And they're not saying how they got there. I mean, in theory, they would have to go through some gate and have their name taken. Certainly for them to be found very early in the morning as they were is a violation of all kinds of rules on the Army base. But this one is definitely going to be kind of interesting to follow. Why were they there? There have been some hemming and hawing about there may have been drugs and alcohol. You know, could have been a very wild party there by some soldiers either on their way to or coming back from Iraq. Now, let's look a little bit further down here. There is a phenomenon going on across the country, and it has to do with an issue called state sovereignty. And what that means, these are states that are starting to enact legislation in their own state legislatures, reasserting their sovereignty relative to the federal government. Remember, when the United States was first created, it was a United States. The states had the power and the authority over the people in their own jurisdiction. The federal government originally acted as a mediator between the states. And that was about it. The federal government was not even allowed to keep a standing army in peacetime. The federal government was intentionally kept weak because they didn't want a repeat of the abuses of tyrannies that they had seen in Europe throughout history. So originally in the United States, the states had all the power, and the federal government really was just kind of a referee, if you will. Well, obviously, over time, the federal government has grown in power, certainly after the end of the Civil War. If you study the amendments to the Constitution that were ramrodded through at that point, giving the federal government the power to borrow money without veto by the states, which is one of the reasons we're in the mess we're in right now, and you realize that the federal government has come to the point where it tends to rule the entire country, and that was never its original role. So states, including right here in Hawaii and Ohio and a whole bunch of others. There was a bill in New Hampshire, but somehow that has been stalled or quashed or thrown out by some legislative skullduggery, no doubt. But more and more states are passing these bills saying that they will only respond to mandates and orders from the federal government that comply with the U.S. Constitution, and they will ignore and refuse to enforce and defy any others. This may be the beginnings of a new civil war. As we get into this thing about, yes, you will do as you're told, no, we will not, we are a free state. And that's where the Second Amendment comes in. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll be back tomorrow. It's hump day, middle of the week, Wednesday. More news, your phone calls. Until then, stay safe, be well. Aloha, America.